We want to begin our service today by singing the opening hymn on your program, Great is Thy Faithfulness. This is a favorite hymn of our sister Francesca, and we want to sing to the Lord's praise today. So for those of you who are in our service, we would ask you to stand as we worship, and those who are viewing our service online today, the words will be scrolling in front of you on the screen. Let's sing now to the Lord's honor. Thank you, folks. Please be seated. Let's unite our hearts in prayer as we come to the Lord and just bring this very meeting to Him now in prayer. Let's all seek His face. Our gracious God and our eternal Father, we give thanks today for the privilege that we have of coming into the house of prayer, into your holy presence, that we might praise and give thanks to the great name of our God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, today we can say that the Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And what truth in Psalm 103, where David prayed, Lord, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. bless his holy name. Father, we come this morning and we come to give worship and praise for the opportunity, the privilege that we have of gathering and of opening the Scripture and of reading the precious Word of God and coming to think with fond memories and to give thanks, Lord, and rejoice for the life of our dear sister Francesca. Dear Father, we know that today the hope that we possess is a hope that is not earthbound, but it is a hope that is eternal in the heavens. It's a hope to realize that our sins have been forgiven through Christ, and that because we know Him, we are alive in Him. And because He lives, we shall live also. Dear Father, today I pray that there would be great rejoicing. Though, yes, Lord, today we cannot deny it is a day of sadness. It's a day of separation, a day of loss, a day when so many memories will flood into the mind and soul. And yet, Father, we realize there are many happy things to rejoice about. And the greatest is this, to know that our dear sister is absent from her body and present with our God, her Lord. And so we are thankful today. Bless everyone who is here in the service today. We pray for every family member. We ask especially for your comfort to be upon our brother Lewis and our sisters Suzanne and Karen. Comfort them. Hold them up, Lord. Bless them today. We know that there are extended families. There are sisters here today. There are relatives. And we ask that you would bless them and those that could not be in the meeting but are watching online from a distance. Lord, may the Word of God and may the testimonies that are given be that which would encourage the hearts and lift up and draw everyone nearer to the Lord Jesus. Father, hear our prayer today. Bless us, for we ask these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Well, we want to bid to you, dear folks, today a very warm word of welcome. And we know that there are many more that would be here if they were allowed. But we all understand today these restrictions, and we're thankful for the 10 of you who are here. And we want to say, though, a special word of welcome to the folks who are viewing our service through the webcast today. And I want to encourage, if you have relatives or friends, and maybe they were not able to see the service live, I want you to be assured it's going to be uploaded to our church website, and therefore you can go back and review it again at a later time for your convenience. But we certainly want to welcome everyone. And well, this is the first funeral service, well, really the second one, but the first one in our church that we have had to do under these COVID circumstances. And so it's new for all of us, and yet we don't want that to be a restriction in any way, because we know that the Holy Spirit, He is not limited. He comes to be with us when only ones or twos are gathered, the twos and threes that meet in Christ's name. And yet when we're by ourselves and on our own, we can know and depend on the presence of our loving Savior and the Holy Spirit. So we want to welcome you all today. Please listen carefully to some scripture verses that I want to share with you. In the hand of God, the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, and a time to mourn. Moses, the oldest psalm in the Bible, Psalm 90, he said this, Lord, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. He said, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past. As a watch in the night, thou carriest them away as with a flood, and they are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass that groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up, and in the evening it is cut down and withereth. The days of our years are 70 years and 10, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years of age, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. So, Lord, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. David prayed, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. May God bless your hearts with his word and encourage you and lift you up today. At this time, I'm going to call upon Suzanne and Karen, and they're going to come and just share some very precious thoughts about their mom and give tribute to her. Please come.
We are very honored to have the opportunity to share our feelings and memories of our dear mom, who is very special to us, and to tell you about her life. We remember our mom as a very godly, prayerful, and courageous woman. Her struggle with her health began at the age of 7, when she contracted rheumatic fever and almost died. She recounted to us the night in which the disease attacked her heart valve, and she didn't know if she would survive that night. By God's grace, she did survive. She grew up in a loving family in Karachi, Pakistan, and was the eldest of 5 children. Her siblings are Barbara, Michael, Patrick, and Yvette. Her parents were very concerned for her health, and as a child, they tried to give her a normal life. However, due to her weak heart, she could not participate in many events and activities as other children her age. In fact, she was homeschooled periodically because she often wasn't strong enough to attend regular school. It was with great determination she finished her schooling. Her physical heart condition was very poor, and without surgery, she would not survive. In the providence of God, her mother, Olivia, saw an article in a magazine in 1962 that explained that open-heart surgery was being done. This was a new medical technology, and there was no heart-lung machine at the time. So it was a very risky procedure. Through her mother's determination, they both traveled to Vellore, India, to the Christian Medical College Hospital. It was a long and difficult journey in those days. My mom, Francesca, was 19 years old at the time. God gave her the resolve and courage to undergo her surgery. The open heart surgery was successful. It was at this hospital that my mom met a missionary lady named Margaret Nash, who encouraged her to trust in Jesus for all her needs. This lady wrote in my mom's autograph book this scripture from Isaiah 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. It was a scripture verse that my mom cherished, and it continued to encourage her throughout her life. Years later, she met my dad, Louis, and they were married. And shortly after, they immigrated to Canada with myself as a baby, and we settled in Montreal, Quebec. There were many challenges she faced when they arrived in Canada, but God was faithful in meeting every need. It was at a full gospel meeting in 1978 that my mom recognized that she was a sinner. She repented of her sin and asked Jesus to come into her life and be her Savior. Jesus brought peace and joy in her life, and she wanted to use her life to serve him.
As children, we remember our mom praying with us every day before we went to school. She would sit us down at the kitchen table, and we would read Psalm 91 together and commit the day to God. She loved to sing the hymns and had a beautiful singing voice. From my earliest days, I remember my mom sitting beside my bed at night and singing the hymns to me while I peacefully would fall asleep. Anytime we had concerns, she would listen and then pray with us. My mom enjoyed several hobbies. She loved to sew, and she did needlepoint, knitting, and also working in the garden. She was a people person, and she loved to interact with people. Years later, she worked at the customer service desk at Woolco, and then later at Walmart. She would enjoy telling us all the stories of her day at work and all the interesting events that took place. Many years later, she needed to have open-heart surgery again here in Toronto. Once again, she faced this challenge by looking to the Lord for strength and help. One of our mom's favorite hymns was entitled, "He Giveth More Grace." This hymn describes the grace that God gave to her to handle the many challenges she faced in her life. Some of the words of this hymn say, "He giveth more grace when the burden grows greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials, his multiplied peace. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men." Mom invested in our lives. She encouraged us to learn to play the piano, and she sacrificed much so that we would develop skills that we could use to serve the Lord. She was always interested in what was happening at school, and she would pray for us as we taught. She also had a great love for her extended family and her many nieces and nephews, and would pray for them and their families. The last 5 years of her life were the most difficult as her heart condition deteriorated. It was during this time that she relied much on the prayers of others, and she was overwhelmed by the prayers offered on her behalf by her family, her church family, and her friends. She never complained about her health challenges, but she bore it patiently. In her final hours, the Lord impressed John 14, verse 1 to 3 on our hearts, and we were able to read these verses to her before the Lord took her home to be with him. And these verses say, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We praise God that our mom is in heaven today with her Savior, no longer suffering. Many years ago, in a school memo, I read a beautiful poem that I felt described my mom. I safely kept it hidden away and had the privilege of sharing this poem with her before she passed away. It is entitled, A Mother Who Prays. It's by an anonymous writer, and in closing, I would like to read it to you. Some have had kings in their lineage, some to whom honor was paid. Not blessed of my ancestors, but I have a mother who prays. I have a mother who prays for me and pleads with the Lord every day for me. Oh, what a difference it makes for me. I have a mother who prays. Some have worldly success and trust in the riches they've made. This is my surest asset. I have a mother who prays. My mother's prayers cannot save me. Mine can only avail. But mother introduced me to someone who never could fail. Oh, yes, I have a mother who prays for me and pleads with the Lord every day for me. Oh, what a difference it makes for me. I have a mother who prays.
Thank you, Suzanne and Karen. There were touching words, very meaningful, as you share with us about your dear mom, and very special indeed. We're going to sing another hymn to the Lord's praise, the second one on your bulletin, Face to Face with Christ My Savior. I invite you to stand again as we praise God. I want to express my sincere condolences for the loss of our dear sister today. Of course, to our brother Louis, Dr. Fernandez, and Suzanne, and to Karen, not just from myself and my own wife Jill, but from our entire congregation. As I said before, I know that many people wanted to be here today to express their own thoughts of love and of condolence to you, but they cannot be. And so on behalf of our entire congregation and Dr. and Mrs. McClelland, and from our elders and our deacons and all of our brothers and sisters, I say on behalf of them a sincere word of condolence to you. And know that many folks are viewing our service today by the internet, and we know that you are sharing in spirit with the family today, and we want to welcome you to our service. We have only 10 people here in the meeting this morning in Toronto, and yet we know that the spirit of many who are watching, well, you're with us here today as well. The Lord has impressed upon me a verse of Scripture that I want to leave with you all today, which I think and hope will be a word of comfort and also a word of challenge to you as well. Is it ever an easy thing to come to a funeral service because of what this is all about today? It's about death. It's about departure. It's about coming to say farewell to someone we have known and loved for many, many years. Death, you know, is not a particular restrictor of any persons. It comes to every family. It doesn't matter how rich you are. It doesn't matter how poor. It doesn't matter what the color of your skin is or what language you speak. Death is universal. It comes across to every single one. And the Lord has told us it is appointed unto man, to mankind, once to die, but after this, the judgment. Nothing but the Lord's word can bring comfort and help and to still a troubled heart in a time like this and to give peace. The Lord's word is that which brings that great comfort to us. And as I quoted earlier in my prayer when I was expressing this to the Lord, the words of Job when he said, "The Lord hath given, the Lord hath taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord." I want us to think on one verse of Scripture from the book of Revelation, chapter 14 today, and please listen to this word found in verse 13. It says this, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Why would a person ever be blessed or happy or content to be dead? On the surface, it does not make any sense at all. I say to you, the only way that a person could be thankful or happy that they are dead is to know what lies beyond the grave, of what is in front of them in the unknown to human points of view, but that is blessedly known to those who are loved of God, who are known by the Lord Himself. To die in the Lord. What does this mean? And why would someone be said to be happy to be dead in the Lord? I say to you, in the first place, it is because of this. Because of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The cross, it is the hinge upon which all human history turns. We might say that, and well say, that when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, left heaven and came down to be born in Bethlehem as a baby through the Virgin Mary, when that happened, it was a great miracle. It was a stupendous thing. And then we read the account of our Lord's life and how that Jesus healed the sick. He gave sight to the blind. He gave strength to those who were crippled. He raised the dead. And those things were mighty miracles and evidences of divine power. But my dear friends, when we come to the cross, and when we consider the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, what He did on the cross, He gave His own precious blood to be spilled in order to make atonement for sinners like you and me. And when the Lord did that, He paid the price for sin that no other could pay. And the hymn writer said these words, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." What is it that can make a person right before God? Is it being born into a religious family? Is it because a person might be a faithful member of a church? Is it because they have been a good neighbor? Or is it because they have done a lot of good works? While all of these things might be helpful along life's journey, my dear friends, they cannot wash away our sins. There is only one that can make atonement, or that can make payment for our sins, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. And His death on Calvary's cross, when He shed His blood, that is the only remedy that you and I have. And that is the preparation that we need to enter into death. Now, no one looks forward to death in a natural sense, because there is placed within us the desire of survival, and each one of us wants to survive and live longer. Well, I know there are cases when some are very, very sick, and maybe they have lost their will to live in a sense, or they've lost their consciousness to live, but in the normal sense, everyone does not look to die, they look to live. But the reality of death, and when that's going to happen to any one of us, we don't know, today, tomorrow, next month, next year. But the very fact that we are here in this service this morning, and the coffin that is behind me, is evidence, striking evidence, that death is going to happen to us all. And then we wonder, well, what is the reason for death? The Bible says that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We have all come short of the glory of God. The Lord Himself said, the soul that sins, it shall die. Death, you see, is the consequence, the punishment of sin. And because all of us have broken God's holy law, we have sinned, then judgment applies to us. And yet God, the great truth of this, the Lord did not leave us in our sins. He did not just cast us aside, but He made provision. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. My dear friends, today, this is the hope of everyone who has received Jesus Christ by faith as their Lord and Savior. It's the only remedy. Blessed are they that die in the Lord. This is the only way it could be true. Oh, the preciousness of the little word, in that's found in Revelation 14, verse 13. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. What does that mean? When someone is in Christ, it means that they have a living relationship with the Lord. It means that Christ is in them, me, you, if you know Christ, and it means that He belongs to you and you belong to Him. There is a relationship that God does when a man is born again and saved by His grace. We are brought into the family and fold of God. That new birth, that conversion, it's exactly what happened to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, that man who came to Jesus by night. And he said, "Good Master, we've heard you teach so many good things." And Jesus stopped him and he said, "Nicodemus, you must be born again." That is the answer, being brought into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I say to you today, this is a testimony that our dear Francesca had. Christ came into her life when she repented of her sin and she called on the Lord to save her. That did not mean that she lived the rest of her life without trial, without trouble, without weakness, without sorrow. For those of you who know her life knew that it was very much the opposite to that. And the last 5 years, as we've heard this morning again, were five hard years for Francesca, difficult years, trying health problem years. But we know that difficulties are part of a human experience in this world that is cursed by sin. And yet in her heart, Francesca knew that she had a living relationship with the Lord Jesus. She loved her Lord. And she knew she was loved of Him. And that gave to her mind and to her soul, it gave her strength during the time of weakness in body and during the time of stress in the mind. Yes, in her soul she loved. She loved her Lord. She wanted to serve Him. I had the joy of knowing Francesca for many years. And it was a blessing to me as a pastor to hear her pray in the prayer meeting. Because as she prayed, she opened her heart to the Lord and she worshiped and praised the God that she loved and she prayed for others. She prayed for you who are here today. She prayed for many of you who are watching online this morning because she loved her God, she loved the Savior, and she loved you very much. And that's one of the ways in which I have a memory of her in her thanksgiving, in her rejoicing, in her praising God. She was weak in body. From the age of 19 to have open heart surgery in the very early days of such type of procedures was, well, to me, a novice in medical things, an amazing thing. And we know we have those who are more experienced in that area here today. And you also must realize it was an amazing thing. The Lord came to her and touched her body and gave her a measure of health and strength for her life to be able to come to the age of 77. And here, though it has come, but where is Francesca today? You know, behind me and in front of you, we have a coffin. Inside the coffin is a frame, but that frame is now empty. That frame is simply the house that at one time held her spirit. But when life goes from the earthly body that we have, the spirit departs and goes to be with the Lord. The Apostle Paul was able to say, "When I am absent from my body, I am present with the Lord." You see, when we are in Christ and we come to the point of our death, we are going immediately into the presence of our God. The Bible says it, and we can rejoice in that truth today. Ah, yes, my friend, I ask you, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you sure today that you're in Christ and that if you die, you're going to be with Him forever? Have you repented of your sin? I ask you that question because it is of all questions the most important one, and the only way to properly answer and have the truth of this. Blessed are they that die in the Lord, happy, contented, because you know that there is a future for you. But there's another truth that is contained in this verse of Scripture, because we're told also that they will rest from their labors. So those who are blessed and happy to die in the Lord, why? Because they are now resting from their labors. Rest is a very sweet thing. It's a sweet thing after you've had a hard day's work, and you come home to either sit down or lie down. You take your repose, and you can say, ah, it's nice to rest. Rest is a good thing to have after we have expended ourselves. But rest is not only something we enjoy from physical labor, because there are many folks that don't necessarily get down into the ditch and dig with a shovel, but their experience has been mental work. But it's equally as joyful to come away from mental work and to rest and say, ah, I'm glad to have a break from this. Yes, my dear friend, it is a pleasant thing to know that there is a rest that we can enjoy even in a physical and mental way. It's interesting that the word that is used for labor in Revelation 14, it's a word that means to chop or to cut. And the word means to be exerting yourself so that our strength is reduced as a result of the labor that we're doing. Now, women who have borne children, you know what it's like to be in labor. Men know nothing about this. We don't have that experience. We can only, well, try to understand what that would be like. But the rest, as ladies have said, after the child has been born, is a great relief and rest. And when we are laboring for the Lord in life, as our sister Francesca did, as every true Christian does, as we work and labor for the kingdom of God, Jesus has said to us, let us labor for the Master, or the hymn writer rather, let us labor for the Master from the dawn till the setting sun. Because in Christ, we want to work for Him. And as our dear sister, much of her work, you know, it was certainly not physical, not in these later years. What could she do, though? What was her work? I say to you, her work was vital because she was a prayer warrior. She served God by her praying. She served God by the way she exhibited Christ. A life lived for the Lord Jesus, it is a life of service and labor. And it sometimes is toilsome. Working for the Lord, you know, is not an easy thing. I say that as a pastor. Well, you will say it is the way in which you've served God. It's not necessarily an easy thing to do. There are times of anguish and disappointment. There are times of struggling and sorrow. All of these things, they will maybe part of our service for Christ. For the Bible tells us all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, shall suffer trouble, toil, labor, and the weariness of flesh and mind, in a human sense, will one day be put to rest. And there will be in glory, in heaven, there will be such an endless sense of joy and peace and rest in the Lord, not that in glory we will not be serving and living for our God, but there will be great rest from our labor in that work. Do you know the Lord today as your Savior? Are you trusting in Him? Friends listening online, I say this to you as well. Do you know Him? Do you love Him? Do you know another reason? The final thing I leave with you is this. Our text talks about their works do follow them. Now, what does that mean? Because if someone is said to be happy or blessed to be dead in the Lord, it really means that they're alive in the Lord. Because being in Christ, we will never die. Oh, the earthly frame will pass away, but our spirit lives forever with our God in heaven. And the works that we have done for the Lord on earth, they follow us to glory. Did not Jesus say, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust don't corrupt, and thieves don't break through and steal? Now let me say, to be sure, that we cannot work in order to get into heaven. That's an impossibility, because you and I are sinful. And it's the work that Jesus has done for us on Calvary's cross that washes our sins away. That is my entrance into heaven. But you know, after we are saved by His grace, then we serve God in this life and we work for Him. And the works that we do for the Lord here on earth, because we love Him, because we're saved by Him, those works will follow us into glory. And some of us will say, Lord, I'm not worth anything. My work is not much of anything for You. And sometimes we might say, Lord, I haven't lived my life to the fullest at all for You. And I lament. I will say, I wish I had given Him more of my life, more of my time, more of my energy. But the Lord looks down upon us and He says, but my child, have you given a glass of cold water to a weary soul? You will not lose your reward. God counts things in a different way than you and I count them. No, we cannot work our way into heaven, but we will serve the Lord by our labor on earth because He has saved us, and we are thankful about that today. I read a plaque once, many years ago, and it said this: if I have everything and have not Christ, I have nothing. But if I have nothing and have Christ, I have everything. There is great truth in those words. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. I wonder, friends, is there a place for you reserved in glory today? Is Christ waiting for you to come? Francesca has gone now to her long reward. Will you see her again? Will you go to be with her? It's only if you have Christ in your heart, if you've been born again by His Spirit, that we will ever see our dear sister in glory again. Please bow with me now in a word of prayer. Loving Father, this is a happy and yet a sorrowful time. And these mixtures of feelings, Lord, well, we know the reasons behind them. And I pray that there would be great thanksgiving. And I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will do His perfect work in taking the Word of God and writing it upon every heart, everyone who's listening now, and then perhaps some who will listen at a later time. Father, do what we cannot do. And when the voice of man is silent, speak on, Lord, we pray, with great power. Do that which we cannot do ourselves. Lord, we give thanks today for the remembrance of Francesca. And we pray for Your great comfort to be pulled over every grieving soul like a great sheet of comfort. Lord, hear this, our prayer today. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. There's a well-known Christian hymn. It was written by a man years ago. His name was Joseph Scriven. When he wrote the words of the poem, He never intended it to be made into a hymn that was became quite popular. What a Friend We Have in Jesus was something he wrote immediately after some very serious tragedy that occurred in his life. And he wrote the words for his mother, actually, and it was found some time later, and the person who found it then thought they're very precious words, and they put into a tune. He was originally from a place in Northern Ireland, and he moved to Port Hope, Ontario. And before he had left Northern Ireland, he was engaged to be married. And his fiancée tragically drowned the night before they were to be married. And so that was a devastating thing for this man. He moved to Port Hope, Ontario, met another young woman, was engaged again to be married to her, and in the very unusual providence of God, she was baptized in Rice Lake about the month of April. The ice had not long been off the lake. And after that, she caught pneumonia and died before they were married. So here was a man who was thrown into the depths of sorrow and despair because, well, he had lost those whom he had loved. But you know what kept that man going? It was a knowledge of something deeper and greater and farther. And the knowledge that Christ was his friend in a time of need. What a friend, he said, we have in Jesus. All our sins and our griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials, he said, and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrow share? For Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Ah, my friends, today we're gathered around the open grave, and this situation here preaches for us a far greater sermon than really any man could preach, because it's reality. It's where we will all be very soon. And so it begs the question, as I mentioned today in the service, do we know Francesca's Savior? Do we have the friendship of the Lord Jesus, as Mr. Scriven wrote so many years ago? There is nothing like the joy and the knowledge of having this truth in our hearts, cemented inside, because we know him and we love him. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me should never die. This is a hope that goes beyond the grave, my dear friends. And it's a hope that our sister has this very day. And so there is joy, there is sadness, there is happiness, there is weeping. And the strange mixture of emotions, they all flood together. But Paul said to the Thessalonians, he said this, we sorrow not as others that have no hope, because the hope of the Christian is the hope for eternity. It's the hope of eternal life, and that's our joy. That's the peace we have. And Paul wrote, by the inspiration of God, he said, so when this corruptible, this human, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass that which is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? We triumph still if Christ is our Savior, our Lord, and our King. I trust you know him today, friend. I trust you're trusting and resting in him for eternity. As much as it has pleased Almighty God to take unto himself the the last remains of our departed loved one, we commit her body to the ground. Ashes to ashes and dust to dust, for the old frame goes back to where it came from, the elements of this world. And as that is the case, we know that God is glorified in the giving of life. He is glorified when life is taken. Because ultimately our Lord is the God of heaven and earth, the giver and the receiver of all things. And so we say today, this is both a happy and a very sad time. May the Lord's name be honored this day. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Father, we open our hearts today under the canopy of heaven. What a beautiful day, Lord. A day the sun is shining. A day when the Son of Righteousness shines in all his glory. Today is a happy day, Lord. But we cannot deny it's a day mixed with sadness and departure. I pray that you would come very near to our brother Lewis. Come near to Karen, Suzanne, and every sister, brother, every family member. Lord, just help them today. And let us look beyond what seems to be so devastating and such a loss, to realize that our hope is in the Savior. And our hope is alive. And we have the joy of eternity to look forward to. So, Father, receive our praise today. Receive our thanksgiving. Give beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning. Lord, help today, we pray. We commit this entire service and all that has transpired today into your gracious and loving hands. We ask these things now in the name and for the sake and to the glory of our Lord Jesus. In his name we pray.
Everyone had an opportunity to come forward to pay their final respects. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the service here at the cemetery. The cemetery staff will conclude the burial after we prepare. So once again, thank you for your understanding of the restrictions we're under and for the presence and support.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Pastor.
Very good job.